Say all the time. And His mercy to me endures forever. Well, if you believe it, it'll be true in your life. If you don't, it won't. Praise God. Feeling a little sassy this morning. Glory to God. Going to have some fun. Is that all right? Let's open our Bibles to John 10:10. They'll put it on the screen for you. John 10:10. Always happy to expose the devil a little bit. Praise God. John 10, verse number 10, the thief, the devil is the thief. You know, a thief tries to do something that's illegal. It's not legal for him to do, but that doesn't keep him from trying to do it. And the devil's not dead. He has not yet been cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. So he's still at loose in the operated. But he is a defeated foe, defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And his victory is our victory. Praise God. But the devil still operates as a thief and tries to take advantage of people. And so it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what he does. In one form, in one area, in one way or another, to one degree or another, when he shows up on the scene, he's there to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Oral Roberts said, the greatest revelation I ever got is God is a good God and the devil's a bad devil. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. God, if it's good, it comes from God. If it's bad, it comes from the devil. Glory to God. And Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. The word life there, as you probably know, is the Greek word zoe. And zoe is life as God has it. Life. Life as God has it. Well, God's not broke. God's not sick. God's not defeated. God's not depressed. God's not afraid. And God's not confused. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have an abundance of the very life and nature of God himself. So God offers this life or gives us this life, this abundant life, through Jesus, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the devil comes along and attempts to rob us of abundant life in every possible way. I'm talking about people that are born again, people that are Christians. The devil still comes to them and tries to steal what rightfully and legally belongs to them. You know, if you read back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and you can read from about four verses 14 and on, you'll read that God said to the people, he said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then in case you don't know what to do, he says, choose life. Choose life. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says you can live an abundant, blessed, victorious life in the promised land. And the promised land typifies everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. And he says you can live an abundant, blessed, victorious life by choosing me, by living for me, and by believing my word. God says you'll have life, not just physically exist, but you'll really live. You'll be blessed. You'll experience, in New Testament terms, you'll experience zoe. You'll have abundant life. And so God says, choose life and be blessed. Praise God. How many of you choose life? So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we certainly are choosing life. We're choosing God's life. We're choosing God's nature, and His very nature, His very life comes into our spirit. Our old spiritual nature of sin and death passes away. We're born again. We're born from above. And our sins are washed away and we're declared righteous. And when we die, we'll go to heaven. Woo, that's something to shout about. But it's believing His word in everyday reality while we're still here on the earth. It's when we believe His word and believe His promises, that's what causes us to experience this life and these blessings down here on the earth in everyday reality. Many Christians do not experience joy and peace and blessings and victory and abundance and freedom in everyday reality because they don't know that's promised to them. They don't believe that's promised to them. And so the devil comes along and, you know, he'll take advantage of you if you're ignorant of what belongs to you. I mean, he's a thief. He's doing things illegally. He's a con artist. He has all kind of tricks and wiles. And he'll come along and try to take from you what legally and rightfully belongs to you. And so whatever he brings to you, we'll try to steal or kill or destroy in some way or another. But those things are not God's will for our lives. And as born again Christians, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to take it. We don't have to accept anything that the devil brings to our lives. Can you say amen? There was a song, you know, a few years ago, and I'm not sure how many times they've ever been mentioned in a church service, but done by Twisted Sister. About 15 years ago, you know, and the song, you know, said, "We're not," I don't know if they didn't really sing it, they kind of just screamed it, you know. They said, "We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore." Well, I'm not sure what they were rebelling against. I actually looked up the video of it, and it's this kid kind of rebelling against his parents, and I'm sure that song has been used for people to rebel against godly authority and rebel against, you know, parental authority and rebel against, I don't know, civil authority and just about anything you can think of. And so it wasn't written to be a Holy Ghost sanctified spiritual song. But I like the idea when it comes to the devil. We ain't going to take it. I'm not going to take it. I like the second verse of the line. It says, we got the right to choose. Choose life. We do have the right to choose. God has given us a free will, and God himself will never violate your will. He'll let you get up out of your seat, go get in your car and drive down the store and rob a bank if you want to. But he's not going to stop you. He protects your free will. That's why, you know, and so we have to understand that. But it says we've got the right to choose, and there ain't no way we'll lose it. I'm not giving up my right to choose. Can you say amen? And as a born-again Christian, we are not helpless victims. We have the right to choose what we take and what we're not going to take. Somebody says, how can you say that? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and redeemed us from all the curse of the law. And we don't have to have anything that he redeemed us from. We don't have to take. We don't have to accept anything that he redeemed us from. If we take it, we're doing it, it may be unwittingly, but we're doing it ignorantly. And so we don't have to take anything that comes from the devil. You cannot stop the devil from trying to put something on you, but you don't have to take it. You are a born-again Christian with a lot more authority and a lot more power and a lot more rights than you could ever begin to imagine. You've got covenant rights. You've got legal rights. Glory to God. But if you don't know your rights and if you don't enforce your rights and the devil's defeat, he will take advantage of you. Now, glory to God. So there's people in the world, if you don't accept Jesus as Lord, they have no choice. Just whatever life hands them, they have to accept. That's not true of us. It can be true of us, but it should not be true of us. Glory to God, if you're born again and live for him and believe, everybody say believe. Believe. We don't have to just take whatever the devil dishes out to us. Can you say amen? You know, life can give out some pretty sweet things at times, just in the natural. It can also dish out some pretty rotten things at times. In the next 5 minutes around the world, there will be people that receive some incredibly good news. Just in the next minute and a half, just in the next 30 seconds around the world, something horrible, something very wonderful, I should say, will happen to some people around the world. But in those same next 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, some very horrible things will happen to some people. And people will receive some incredibly bad news. It's like playing cards, you know. You can get dealt a really good hand. You like getting dealt a really good hand if you're playing card? But sometimes you can get dealt a hand that's not so good. And in the natural, that's just the way it is. I mean, you know, you just deal with the cards that you're dealt. You just got to deal with it. You just have to take it. You don't have a choice. But spiritually, we do have a choice. And I don't know about you, but I'm not G-O-I-N-G, but G-O-N-N-A. I'm not gonna take anything that comes from the devil because I don't have to. Glory to God. And so again, as Christians, we don't have to accept anything that Jesus redeemed us from. Somebody says, well, I don't even know what he redeemed me from. Well, that's part of the problem. You know, find out. The Bible says that he redeemed you from the curse of the law in Galatians 3:13. Glory to God. And the Bible tells us to resist the devil. Somebody says, well, I just thought if something happened that was just automatically God's will. Well, you thought wrong. Well, I just thought, well, where's that in the Bible? Well, I look for 3 weeks and can't show you one scripture. No, what are you basing that on? You know, I'm glad when there was a storm sent by the devil to destroy Jesus and the disciples, and they woke Jesus up and they said, Lord, save us, we're perishing. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, well, you know, I can't get up and rebuke that storm. If it happened, then it's obviously God's will. And if I get up and rebuke this storm, I'd be rebuking God. But Jesus got up and rebuked the storm because he knew it was not from the Father. It came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we are not to accept anything that comes from the devil. The Bible tells us to resist those things, to stand against those things, to not accept those things. Amen? I mean, everybody that Jesus healed, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God anointed him. God empowered him to heal all that were oppressed by the devil, sickness and disease and demonic oppression. Amen. And so those people couldn't take the attitude of, well, if I'm sick, that just means it's God's will. No, Jesus set them free because it came from the devil. And in the Old Testament, when their enemies came out against them, they just didn't say, well, it's God's will that they come down and steal our crops and destroy us and take over our lands. No, they fought against them. Why? Because that wasn't God's will. Amen. Praise God. So we don't have to accept anything that comes from the devil. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we should resist. Certainly we resist sin, but we're to resist anything that comes from the devil. You know, about 30 years ago, there's always these marketing schemes. Some of them are not ethical. Some of them are half scams, and some of them turn out to be illegal. You know, sometimes from my Harley, I just got a thing where they sent a whole addendum to my warranty, you know, and they said, we are sending this to you, kind of nice way they worded it, but they said, we're sending this to you because the government is making us, because they said we implied that if you do not get your vehicle serviced directly from us, which they very strongly do most of the time, then your warranty is no good. And that's not true. As long as you're taking care of your warranty, taking care of your oil changes, it does not have to come from us, you know. And so I don't know if you remember this, but you know, it was kind of funny. 30 years ago, there was this scheme that companies would just send you something in the mail unsolicited. I mean, a brand new wallet, unsolicited, something you did not order, something you did not want. And then here was part of the gimmick, that they would advertise, you know, we are sending you this genuine faux leather wallet. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I know what faux means today, but 35 years ago, like most people, I didn't know what faux meant. And it meant genuine faux. Glory to God. And even today, I see some ads that say, you know, this coat, it's got a genuine faux fox fur collar. It's a genuine faux fox collar. Well, some of you, I can tell, don't know, but faux is French for imitation. Fake. Not real. And you know, just recently I've seen some of those. And so, you know, but 35 years ago it really went over big, because maybe you knew, but I didn't know what faux meant. I went, wow, that's genuine faux. Got this genuine faux watch here. They sell these down there at Walmart, this Seiko watch, and that's a cheaper place to buy one, you know. They sell them down there for $299. I got this faux Seiko for $19.95. Not only that, I paid extra shipping and handling, and I got two of them. It's a faux. Yeah. This is not a faux Breitling. I didn't pay any faux price for it, I'll tell you that much. And so they would send you something in the mail, and then within just 3 or 4 days, they'd start billing you for it and send you an ugly letter. Why haven't you paid for this? And you're like, what? I didn't order this. Did that ever happen to anybody? Oh, yeah, it was a scam that happened. And people would get on the phone, and, you know, of course, there was nobody you could talk to, and people would take the time to package it up and send it back. And some people just paid the bill. Well, that one was more than just being a scheme. That was actually illegal. And so the government came along and said, hey, if somebody sends you something in the mail that you did not order, you didn't order it. Now, if you ordered it, that's different. But you didn't order it. It was unsolicited. You didn't ask for it. And they send it for you. And you can ignore it. You can keep it. And you don't have to pay them a dime. And that's why you are not receiving these things in the mail anymore. Glory to God. But you know, you're going to get one of them faux, genuine wallets. Wow. Maybe I'll order me one of them. When the devil shows up on your doorstep with some package, you don't have to sign for it. Are you listening to me? Amen. I said amen. I mean, even in the church world, by the way, that crossed over into the church world. Not Brother Hagin, not Brother Copeland, but from some very well-known ministers. And I realized after this happened to me about twice, these people, you know, I'm thinking I'm talking to a minister that wants to talk about the love of God, that wants to, you know, hey, can I pray with you about this? No. These are salesmen that accompanies ministry, good ministry. They've hired them. And they would call me and they'd say, we've got this program for your church. We'll send it to you free of charge, you know, and you can, or we'll send it to you and you can see whether you like it or not. And I was like, okay. And then they'd send it to me. And then just in a week later, I'd start getting a bill for $500 and $600. And they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to take it back. You ever seen that? You know, they've gotten a little better with it now. But when it first started, it was like, you know, you can get a free subscription. Yeah, it's free for the first month. But when you sign up for it, then they charge you throughout all eternity. Every month on the 10th. You can get this free pill. You get this free bottle. Well, I don't know. That I might want that free bottle. That looks pretty interesting. But then they're going to charge you every month. And like I said, people are kind of aware of that now, but when it first came out, people weren't. So, you know, and in some cases, you'd try to call them back, and again, you couldn't get anybody on the phone, and they're, you know, you'd have to call your bank, and, you know. But you don't have to take it. Glory to God. And so if the devil shows up on your doorstep with some package, don't sign for it. Don't accept it. The devil knows. I said the devil knows, even if a lot of Christians do not know, the devil knows that he can't just automatically put things on people. He just can't automatically give things to people. He knows that. A lot of Christians don't know that. He knows he has to get people to sign for it. How do you sign for it? You sign for it when you just say, well, that's just what was dealt me. I mean, I guess it's God. If it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't be happening. That's not true. Things happen every day. People die and go to hell every day. It's not God's will. Things happen every day. That's not God's will, not His purpose, not His plan. Well, so you sign for it when you just accept it as God's will. When you don't know what legally belongs to you, you sign for it. When you get in fear, you sign for it. When you don't resist Him, you sign for it. When you don't use your authority and don't use the name of Jesus, you sign for it. When you begin to talk fear and doubt and unbelief, and meaning you say things that God, opposite of what God says, that's signing for it. That gives Satan permission to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. And people do it ignorantly because they don't know the truth. But still, it opens the door to the devil and lets him come in. We don't want that to happen. Can you say amen? Amen. I mean, if somebody just drove up to your house and they're trying to deliver you a lawnmower that costs, you know, $6,200, or trying to deliver you a new refrigerator, and they say, here, sign for it. And you're going, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't order that. There's some kind of mistake. Well, it's got your name right here. You just sign for it. Would you sign for it? Of course not. Neither would I. Take it back on your truck. Get it out of here. Well, we're going to leave it here on the lot. I don't care what you do with it, but I ain't signing for it. I didn't order it, and it's not mine, and I'm not taking it. I'm not going to take it. Can you say amen? Glory to God. See, we have to know and believe that the devil cannot put anything on us that Jesus redeemed us from. He can try to, but he cannot if we will stand our ground and resist him and believe the word of God. We have to enforce His defeat. Can you say amen? I'm going to look at something here because it seems like I missed something. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, you sure put a lot of emphasis on faith around here. No, we just preach the Bible. And God's the one that put the emphasis on faith. It can be tough to hear. Listen to me very carefully. It can be tough to hear and hard on the flesh, even for Christians to hear sometimes, but the truth is we don't get results if we don't believe. That's just the fact. Amen. We won't get truth, and the devil will take advantage of us if we don't believe. But we just put emphasis on what God puts emphasis on. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible. Not unlikely. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What if that were true? Oh, wait, it is true. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, you have to understand something. Why does that displease God? God's not mad at you because you're operating in doubt. He's not mad at you because you don't know His Word or mad at you because you don't believe His Word. That's not the reason that displeases God. Faith is simply our spiritual hand whereby we take or receive or appropriate what God gives. To receive His help, to receive salvation, to receive His power, to receive healing, to receive deliverance, to receive anything, you have to take it. It's like somebody gives you a gift. They can buy you an expensive gift. They can tie it up in a beautiful package, put a beautiful bow on it, and try to give it to you. But if for some reason you won't take it, then it's never yours. If you don't take it, it never becomes yours. Faith takes what God gives. And so when people don't operate in faith, then they never receive what God wants to give them, what He's trying to give them. And that's what displeases God. I'm trying to rescue you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your family or get you out of the mess that you're in or whatever. But if you don't believe, then you don't receive. And that's what displeases God. You understand that? Amen. That's why it's impossible to please God. Glory to God without faith. And so faith is the key to walking in abundant life. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved. Well, the word saved there, and you probably already know this, but the word saved there, same word translated main hold, same exact word when Jesus healed somebody, it says they were, same word, they were healed. Same word as salvation. Save, salvation. Same word is rescued or delivered. Same word as when he cast the devil out of somebody, it says they were made whole. Same exact word. Glory to God. Saved, delivered, rescued, made whole, prospered, blessed, helped. When the disciples, I alluded to that a while ago, when they were, you know, Jesus was asleep on the ship and a great storm came, it says a life-threatening storm, and the boat was filling up with water, and they woke up Jesus and said, Jesus, save us! They weren't saying, save us from our sins. They were saying, deliver us. Rescue us from this danger. So by grace, grace is everything that God has done for us because of Jesus and His death, burial, and resurrection. So by grace are you saved. By grace are you delivered. By grace are you helped. By grace are you blessed. By grace are you protected. By grace are you rescued from harm through faith. Faith receives what God provides through grace. If you don't receive it, it never becomes yours. And so we know these scriptures, but then the Mark 11:24 says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe is granted to you. But what if you don't believe? Matthew 21:22, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. But what if you don't believe? Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Abraham, not being weak in faith, Romans 4 says, had a son. You know, he became the father of many nations. To become the father of many nations, he had to have a son. And you know, Sarah's barren and he's 100 years old. Glory to God. And so he received a son. The Bible says, because he was not weak in faith, he did not waver at the promises of God, amen, through unbelief, but was fully persuaded to believe what God said. Hebrews says, through faith and patience we inherit or obtain or receive the promises. How do you obtain the promises? How do you receive from the good hand of God? Through faith. Well, what if you don't operate in faith? Then you don't receive. And it's not God's fault. He's saying, here, I want you to have it, but you got to take it. He won't make you take it. He won't make you do anything. Through faith and patience. And it's interesting because when you study that word patience out, patience means is simply faith that doesn't quit believing because the circumstances and feelings say it's not true. Amen? So through faith that keeps on believing, regardless of what the devil says, regardless of what your circumstances say, regardless of what mental reasoning says, through faith that keeps on believing, we receive the promises. And you have to understand, we talk about don't accept the devil's package when he comes knocking on your door. The devil is not going to, you're not going to hear a knock on your door. You're not going to open the door. And there he is standing in a red suit with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork. That's not how the devil shows up. He shows up with fear thoughts. He throws up with bad news. He's trying to get you to sign the package because all of a sudden you have a twinge, you know, oh my God, I've got cancer and I'm going to die. Would y'all pray for me? I believe I'm taking cancer. Honey, you're a long way from prayer. You believe you're taking cancer? Well, you know, that's what happened to my doctor down here. He was a good man. He was 44 years old, you know, and one day just he went to the doctor and 2 weeks later he was dead. No, when those kind of thoughts come to your mind, that's when you resist that, that's resisting the devil. But if you start, you know, doubting and confessing the wrong thing, saying the opposite, the exact opposite of what God says, then you're not going to get results. So when the circumstances contradict the Word of God, that's the devil showing up. When your feelings contradict the Word of God, that's the devil showing up. When your thoughts contradict the Word of God, that's the devil showing up. If it's not in line with God's Word, if it's not in line with His promises, if it's not in line with what He's redeemed you from, then what are you going to do? You're going to not going to take it. You're going to resist it. But we're talking about the importance of faith. Hebrews 11:35 says, by faith we obtain the promises. James 1:6 says, to ask for something in faith without doubting, without wavering, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind, let not that person suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Well, you can't get any clearer than that, can you? Amen. I said amen. And then as we said, we, not God, but we must enforce the devil's defeat. So don't take the attitude, well, I can't help it that it just showed up on my doorstep. No, you can't. But you don't have to sign for the package. You know, if you own 27 acres and you had been gone for 3 or 4 days and you came home and all of a sudden when you came home on the corner of your property, some guy had cut in a road and they were pouring a foundation to build a house on your property. Somebody could do that, couldn't they? You'd go down there and say, dude, what are you doing? I'm just going to build a house here. I think this is a really neat place. I like the woods. I like the view right here. This is my property. Well, I don't care. I'm going to build my house anyway. What? No, you wouldn't just go back to your house and say, tell your wife, he's building a house on our property and there's nothing I can do about it. Would you do that? No. You'd call the police, you'd call the court, you'd call the judge. It's not legal for him to do that. But you see, that's what a crook does. That's what a thief does. That's what the con artist does. That's what the devil does. They try to do something they don't have a right to do to see if they can get away with it. And if you let them get away with it, they'll take advantage of you. But you would stop them from doing that because the laws of the land protect you. You've got legal rights. You've got covenant rights. We've got covenant rights. We've got legal rights in Christ Jesus that the devil cannot do certain things to us, but we have to enforce his defeat. Somebody says, nobody would be that bold to try to build property on my... Well, they're bold enough to try to steal something out of your car, aren't they? Thieves are bold enough to try to steal your identity. I was on vacation last week. You know the drill. I woke up one morning, looked at my bank account, and somebody had charged stuff to Etsy and 2 or 3 other places, and I went, what? Then I got to go through the whole ordeal and cancel that card and, you know. So, yeah, there's people out there. People may not try to build but they'll try to hunt on your land illegally or dump garbage on your land illegally. But you enforce the laws against it. You don't accept that. You don't just take it. No, you enforce the laws against them. So nobody would be so bold as to try to build on your property, but they'd try to steal your identity or steal something out of your property. Take something out of your garage or take advantage of us in 1,001 different ways. But if we see that happening, we stop it. We enforce the laws of the land. Amen. We go to the authorities and they stop them from doing it. Glory to God, because we've got legal rights. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so again, we must enforce the devil's defeat. Well, I just thought if God didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't happen. Well, again, you thought wrong. Praise God. No, glory to God. If it's the devil, resist it. I said, if it's the devil, resist it. Jesus defeated the devil. See, we have to understand this, and I'm just encouraging you with things you know. Then he gave us his name to use against the devil. In other words, he gave us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. When you use the name of Jesus, it's just as if Jesus himself said it. So you say, in the name of Jesus. It's just like Jesus said it. And that's the highest level of authority there is in all the land and all the universe. And Jesus said, you know, I defeated the devil. Now in my name, you go. See, he gave us the power. In my name, you go and you do something about the devil. And if I don't do something about the devil, then nothing will ever be done. Because God has already done everything he is ever going to do about the devil. He did everything that needs to be done. He defeated him. He was raised from the dead with all authority over the devil, all power over the devil. Amen. And now he's up in heaven, but we're the ones here on the earth. And he says, while you're here on the earth, here's my name. Use it against your enemy. And you cast out the devil. Jesus hadn't come down from heaven since he left this earth and cast out the devil in anybody. No, believers do that. In my name, you do it. James and Peter both said, you know, James in 4:7 says, resist the devil. Understood subject of the sentence, you resist the devil. What do you resist? Anything that comes from the devil. Anything that comes from the devil, who? You resist him. And then Peter, you know, this is not quite as well known to some people, but in 1 Peter 5, he says, be sober, be vigilant. Verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. A roaring lion. You know, a roar never killed anybody. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Can't automatically do it, but he's looking for somebody that's ignorant of their rights. He's looking for somebody that doesn't believe. He's looking for somebody who will take it. He's looking whom he may devour. So when he knocks on your door trying to devour, you just look at him and say, no, you may not. Then it says, whom resist steadfast, one translation says, with your faith. Again, the understood subject of the sentence is you. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to resist him. Not just take it, not just roll with the punches. You're supposed to resist him. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So Jesus said, you do something about the devil. James said, you resist the devil. Peter said, you resist the devil. And then the apostle Paul, again, understood subject of the sentence is you, says, you don't give the devil any place. So nowhere in the New Testament does it ever tell a believer to ask God to do something about the devil. God says, I've already done something about the devil, and I've given you the authority to deal with him. Now you do something about it. You deal with him. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. But you have to know that, and you have to believe that, and you have to act like it's true. Glory to God. So when the devil comes up and brings, not just, you know, tries to put something on you that you've been redeemed from, you resist it. Yeah, and that could be when he comes to try to condemn you, even though Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, you don't accept that. Resist it. You know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know when you're forgiven? When I feel better? No. When I feel like he's forgiven me? No. When I think I've suffered enough for the wrong that I did and now I can go ahead and... No. You're forgiven when you believe that he forgave you because you confessed your sin. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So all these scriptures tell us, glory to God, to resist the devil. Amen. And to run him off. Run him off your property. Amen. This is God's property. You're not welcome here. You can't stay here. This doesn't belong here. I'm not going to let you do this to me. I refuse to accept it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Amen. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So believe God and run the devil off and enjoy the blessing of God. Be blessed yourself and be a blessing to everybody you come in contact with. Let's stand up. Praise God. Let's stand up. That's enough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say this out loud. Say, I'm not going to take it.
I'm not gonna take it.
No. You said, I'm not going to take it. I said, say, I'm not going to. Say, I'm not gonna take it.
I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna take it anymore.
I'm not gonna take
anything. that comes from the devil. I'm not going to take anything that he tries to put on me. Now say it like you mean it with authority. Say this. Say, Satan, take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my finances. Go from me in Jesus' name. Now just act like it so and praise him for it. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And just act like it so. Here's Brother Hagin. Now, this goes way back, and he certainly learned some things beyond that. But, you know, even in the beginning stages of his life, when he was raised off the deathbed, he understood a lot about faith. Now, he learned about the Holy Spirit later and different things. But in the early days, he knew about faith. But he said at one particular meeting, he said, I was away, you know, he's several hundred miles from his family, and they're back home, and he's gotten a letter from his wife, and the kids are sick, and, you know, they're behind on their bills, and he's out doing what God called him to do. And so he said, I just went to the church next door and lay on the altar, and he said, I prayed and prayed and prayed for 2 or 3 hours and just absolutely wore myself out praying, you know, praying about their health and praying about our finances and so forth. And he said, when he finally got quiet enough so the Lord could talk to him, he said, the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, well, Lord, I'm praying through. And the Lord said, what do you mean praying through? He said, well, I just thought I'd pray long enough and loud enough and hard enough, and I guess until I had some sort of feeling that you had, you know, taken care of the problem, or till I had some kind of, you know, felt good about it. And that some kind of, you know, and the Lord said, you mean you're trying to talk me into not being a liar? He said, what about my word? You've already got what my word says. Why don't you just accept what my word says? Why don't you just take me at my word instead of trying to talk me out of not being a liar? That'll shake you up, won't you, and help you. Glory to God. And so he just got up and started acting like God told the truth. Cast your cares over on the Lord. We're not receiving this, devil. Glory to God. We're not taking this. The Word of God already said such and such concerning my finances. The Word of God already said such and such is about my children's health. I'm just going to, if you're worried about it, you're not acting like it. I'm just going to act like God told the truth. Glory to God, and be carefree. And then, of course, when you get in faith, then things work. Then things work. Then things work. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I said thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and praise him a second. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I don't repeat it. It's hard and tough on the flesh for people to hear sometimes. But the truth is, we don't get results if we don't believe. That's the truth. Amen. Because, you know, that we like, oh, no, it's not my fault, and this is terrible. I, you know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I could take the attitude of, oh, no, it's not your... Well, it wasn't my fault that I was attacked by the devil. But, you know, I didn't take it. I didn't accept it. I resisted it. I stood against it. I told the devil, I'm not going to take it. And I didn't take it. And fought the good fight through faith and patience. I kept on believing, even though I got bad report after... Initially, I got bad report after bad report after bad report after bad report. I'm going to the doctor's office, you know, one day, and... You ever see the movie Schindler's List? You know, that's about... Did you see it? Raise your hand if you saw it. Schindler's List? And, well, in that movie, you know, that's about a man in Germany or wherever. I'm not sure, Poland. Where was he from? But anyway, he's trying to help the Jews, and, you know, like a lot of people did, because he saw what was going on. Well, in the movie Schindler's List, there was a young boy in that movie. You probably don't remember that, but there was a young boy. Well, as I'm going to the, you know, this young boy was never heard of for years and years and years and years and years. The movie Schindler's List came out. It's a very famous movie, very popular movie. And then it became revealed that this young boy that had survived the Holocaust because of this man's protection, actually had moved to the United States, become a college professor. Nobody knew who he was. And only in the last few years had it been revealed, he's now in his early 80s, that this man was actually the little boy that was in that movie. Anyway, I'm going to the doctor's office, and they said, such and such, the little boy from Schindler's List just died from the exact same type of cancer I had. That's good news when you're going to the oncologist. And the devil's screaming in my mind, you're going to die, 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 you're going to die. You're never going to see your kids, your grandkids grow up. I left one hospital and I started singing that song, you know, old Jenny Grind song. I started singing that sign. By His word, there is no fear in me. By His blood, you know, by His word, by His blood, by His name. I'm singing that song and the devil said, yeah, you know, she died of cancer, don't you? Which is true. But you just have to say, I'm not going to take it. I refuse to accept it. It's not in line with the will of God for my life. It's not in line with what Jesus redeemed me from on the cross. And I'm not going to take it. Glory to God. Well, as Brother Hagin used to say, you'll find out this about the devil. He is a persistent cuss. He is a persistent cuss. And so you're going to have to stand your ground. Yeah. Well, why would the Bible tell you to stand if there wasn't a fight? Why would the Bible tell you to through faith and patience? In other words, this is over a period of time. Jesus didn't, you know, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, When he cursed the fig tree, he said, no man eat fruit from here. No man eat fruit from this tree hereafter. The tree didn't implode. The tree didn't catch on fire. It didn't just, you know, explode. No, you could see no visible results. But when Jesus said that to that tree, it was dead and it was never going to produce fruit again. The next day when they came by, they noticed the leaves had begun to shrivel up because Jesus cursed it. And when he cursed that tree, the roots began to dry up. Something began to happen that you couldn't see in the natural. Nonetheless, it was happening. And things are happening not only in the natural. Things are certainly happening in the spiritual realm that you can't see, but things happen in the natural when you stand on your up. Amen. And you boldly use your authority and you resist the devil and you stand against the wiles of the devil and you refuse to take what he's trying to give you. And then you don't have to accept it. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have to accept that by faith. Jesus is not going to come down and do anything else. He already did it. You see that now, don't you? But it's by faith. You take what he did. Oh, he loves you so much. Heaven won't be the same without you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to become a Christian, or if you say, I'm a Christian pastor, but I've gotten away from God and I've backslid and I'm not living for him like I should. And this morning, I don't want to leave this place not being back in right fellowship with God. If that's you, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm not going to call you to the front. But if that's you, lift your hand for me, please, right now, and I'll pray for you. Just lift it real high. I know almost everybody in here, but nonetheless, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Art, you can look up at me. Thank you, Lord. If you didn't pray that prayer, but should have, it's not really about me and you. It's about you and God. You just call out to God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he will get whatever they need from God, the forgiveness that you need or whatever it is you need. Can you say amen? So say it for me one more time and make me happy. Say, I'm not going to take it. Amen. Amen. You know what to do? Then do it. Then do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know when I was healed? Not when I began to feel better. Not when the doctor said, we can't find a trace of cancer. Not when the doctor said, you know, the tumor, we can't feel it. We can't find it. It doesn't show up in any x-ray. You know when I was healed? 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. You know when it became real in my life? When I believed it. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. God bless you.